And so my husband has been pastor at the same church for almost 32 years. And it's our hometown. So a lot like Brother Moore, still in our hometown, and he's pastored for many, many years. I never in my wildest dreams as a young woman thought I would be the wife of a pastor. Never desired that. As a matter of fact, we were lost when we married. We got married when we were 20, not long out of high school, of course, and we had a couple of years of college, but we grew up in the hippie generation, believe it or not. That's a long time ago. So I was very different then from what I am now, thanks to the changing power of the grace of Christ in my life. And so I never considered the topic of submission. That was a foreign word. That would have been a foreign word to me had I even been confronted with it. And so after I got saved, we were not in a sound church, and didn't take long to get out of that, and we started studying the Bible. But I really wasn't taught a lot about submission in marriage, God's order of authority in the marriage. And so it just has, over the years of preaching, teaching, has it been taught to me. And so, you know, there's still much to learn about it. And there's probably ladies in here that are much more knowledgeable about submission to their husband than I am. You know, I'm not saying that I'm an expert. Debbie pulled me way out of my comfort zone in asking me to do this. But there have been other occasions where I've been asked to speak. And after the first time, the Lord said, if I give you the opportunity, don't say no to me. And so I couldn't say no. So we're going to look at submission to your husband today as an attitude that we have that is manifested in our actions toward our husband. Okay? So the little sheet there to fill in, I get frustrated when I get one and the speaker misses all the things that go in the blanks. I just like to fill in blanks, you know. So if you don't know what goes in the blank, or just throw your hand up or something, and I'll try to. I highlighted the answers on my papers, so I hope to cover everything that goes on your sheet there. So, but I was just noticing over the last day and a half that we've been here how often I've seen the word submission around me here. If you got one of these in your packet, you look through that, there's that word's on almost every page. Not necessarily of, you know, submission of wife to husband, but to the Lord. And so, of course, we know about that. Carol just mentioned it in the acrostic of trust, of submission. And so we're going to look at the issue of submitting to our husbands today and understand that it's an attitude of your heart. And so if we're going to consider your heart before God, because he is the ultimate one we're to submit to. And if we can't submit to him, then we're going to have trouble all the way down the line. Unfortunately, the word submission today means something awful, demeaning, degrading to women, like that book, Me Obey Him, you know, the title to that book that, yes, 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 and I wish I had learned it early on in my marriage. But the view that the world has comes from a humanistic view. It's not scripturally or spiritually based, and so, you know, we understand why the concept gets a bad rap in the world today among women. But even among saved women, there is an aversion to submitting or to authority, and especially the authority of your husband. There are going to be hundreds of situations that you can mention of husband and wife relationships and all kinds of problems. And of course, I could never speak to all of those. So the only thing I'm going to give you today is what God gave me concerning our relationship to the Lord and how that plays out in our submission to our husband and how we should act toward him. Okay? It's human nature not to be told what to do. I mean, that starts in children at a young age and goes all the way up, you know. We want to do what we think is right. We want to do what we want to do. And so the submission we're talking about today to your husband does not mean servanthood or being a slave to him. It does not mean inferiority or being resigned to some lowly position or a sign of weakness. In fact, rather than being weak, it takes a lot of strength of character to follow through with submission to your husband, especially in the way that God has ordained it. And it's going to be cultivated and acted upon out of your love and obedience to God, first and foremost. And so, if you don't have a right relationship with your Heavenly Father, then that needs to be taken care of first before you can rightfully submit, properly submit to your husband. I read a quote by Elizabeth Elliot, and I think she said it very well when she said, "The mature woman, spiritually mature, acknowledges that submission is the will of God for her. And obedience to this will is no more a sign of weakness in her than it was in the Son of Man when he said, 'Not my will, but thine be done.'" So he was not being weak as he submitted to the will of God the Father. We're not being weak when we submit to our husband in God's order of authority. You must realize that husbands and wives, we're all image bearers of God. And we have distinct roles of leadership in the home. And I'm sure many of you have seen the illustrations, you know, of God, the umbrella of God at the top, and the husband underneath, the wife underneath, children underneath that. And so God is the ultimate authority, but he has an order. So first of all, we're going to look at God's assignment. I'm a wife of a pastor who loves to alliterate. So these are three A's. I had to alliterate. So we're going to first look at God's assignment given to us as wives in Scripture. And so the bottom line for us is going to be whether we choose to accept his command as truth or whether our response will be obedience. And that obedience will bring his blessings on our lives and our marriages. Okay? So the assignment is to see what God says about submission. Okay? So if you want to, you know, turn in your Bibles and follow along with me. The first mention of an authority or an order is in Genesis 3:16. And that says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." So here we see the first time that God's plan for order in the marriage being established in Scripture. Okay? If you'll turn to Ephesians, which is our key portion of Scripture on this, Ephesians 5, 21 through 25. And here we're going to see the order of authority in Scripture. "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. All right, so in this passage, it's very easy to see the order of authority that God has set forth. And there are comparisons. Wives, submit as unto the Lord. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is to the church. And so as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. We might want to scratch out a phrase here and there to make it fit what we want, but it does say in everything. And then there, of course, is the responsibility for the husbands, but we're not going to speak to that today. And then Colossians 3:18, which says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Again, there is the qualifying phrase, unto the Lord, in the Lord. And then another passage we'll look at just briefly is 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 5. This verse says, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. And from this verse, we can see that following God in this order of authority and being in subjection to your husband can be an adornment to you, to your life. Sometimes our flesh wants to ignore the passages that we don't like or we don't agree with. But unfortunately, as children of God, we can't pick and choose the ones we want to obey. We have to look at the whole scripture and all of scripture. God calls us to obedience of his commands. And the important thing about what we do is the attitude with which we respond to what he tells us. There are a lot of commands in the Bible for every person, every stage of life, every position. But for us as women, we must have a proper attitude when we come to this matter of submission. It's not something hard. It's not something God is punishing us with. He does everything he does out of love for us and for our good. I mean, he wants us to be happy and fulfilled and content and peaceful. 1 John 5:3 tells us that for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. All right, so the evidence of your love for God is that you keep his commandments. But he says, and his commandments are not grievous. So they're not grievous. They're not hard. And with his strength and his enablement, you can do anything he asks you to do. Okay, so an understanding of the word submission as used in these passages will help us in the assignment given to us by God. In my study, I came across a Greek word. I don't know Greek. I've never studied Greek. I have no desire to study Greek. But there was a word for submission, which was, I don't know how to say it, hupotasso or something like that. But it means to arrange oneself under. It was like a military term, you know, the order in the military. To arrange oneself under the authority of another person. And it was with a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. And so we are to arrange ourselves under the authority of our husbands voluntarily, not as if you're being beaten and whipped into that position. Okay, it's a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. Hey, we're in the marriage together. Okay, we're facing things together. And so we're to be his helper meet for the task at hand. Okay? And so it's not something hard that the Lord is asking us to do. He established it in the very beginning. And so you can see that this definition of submission describes God's order in the marriage relationship. And it's got to be a choice, a voluntary choice made by you. And it's a choice made out of love, not of duty, and not an obligation performed out of duty. And it sets forth the husband as the head to be followed as unto the Lord. Anytime you struggle with it, remember, you're doing it as unto the Lord to please him ultimately. Okay? So, how are we supposed to respond to this assignment that's given to us by the Lord to submit? In James 4:17, many of you probably know that verse. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay? Now that you've read the scriptures, you know what it says, and we know what to do. If you don't do it, it is sin. Okay? So that burden is on us. We know it's to disobey the Lord is going to be sin, and it's our responsibility to obey. So our first response should be obedience. Because why? It expresses our trust in God. Do you trust him to help you in your marriage relationship? Do you trust him to bless you because you're obedient to what he said to do? When you submit to his appointed authority in your marriage, you're showing that you trust the ultimate appointer. Okay? He's the one that designed it, set it forth for us. So he's the ultimate authority, and we're to please him. And he makes no mistakes. Okay? So it's not something that we have to debate or wonder, God, what in the world? How in this relationship am I supposed to follow him? How am I supposed to submit to him? And I know in this room there would be lots of those questions pop up. Maybe instances in the past or something that's happened and you're like, I just couldn't do that. And honestly, there have been times in my life. In October, we will have been married 42 years. Excuse me. Longer than that. My math is so bad. 47 years. 47. Five more years than that. 47 years. See, the days just fly by so fast. So wonderful. I forget how long we've been married. So in those years, there have been many times where within me, I wanted to rebel and go against what he wanted to do or what he said was best for us to do. And I had doubt. But it's been proven over the years that the Lord will bless when I do what he says to do. And so not only does it express our trust in God when we obey, but another important aspect of it is the way in which you respond. When you respond in obedience with a meek and quiet spirit, then you can exert a greater influence over your husband than you realize. A lot more than throwing a fit and, you know, saying things you might regret. Or how many of you have ever, well, I know you've seen it in children, where you tell them to do something and they huff and they puff and stomp and do it, but in their heart they're not doing it. They're just like, I'll do it, but I'm not doing it inside. And we can do the same thing, just might not be as evident. But, you know, if you do it with a spirit of meekness and out of love, number one for God, but also for your husband, then you can have a greater influence over him than you realize. 1 Peter 3:1, which is, we've read 1 Peter 3:5, but the first verse in that chapter says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. We all know that conversation means your manner of living, the way you behave. And so therein is the influence you can have over your husband, simply by honoring God in obedience. So the question for you today is, are you going to accept the assignment and follow through with it? I hope you will. All right, the second A is our attitude. Anybody ever have problems with your attitude? About every day, at least once a day. Submitting to your husband not only involves a decision to submit to God's command, but it's an attitude that says, I respect you as my husband, and I acknowledge the leadership given to you by God, because God has given him that position. And it has to be something that's seated in your heart and not just your head.
Did yes, you say the second part?
I will. Yeah. I respect you as my husband and acknowledge the leadership given to you by God. All right, that's just saying that you acknowledge that God has set forth an order in Scripture and that you're going to accept that and follow him. A wife will demonstrate support and follow her husband because she chooses to out of love. And there is a power in having this great attitude. It's a power to help your husband fulfill his role as the leader. I know there are times when it seems like the husband is not leading or doesn't desire to have that position, doesn't want to lead, is simply content to have somebody else make the decisions. But you can help him fulfill his role by encouraging him.
What was the first point? There is what in having a proper attitude?
Power. Okay, and so you got a power to help your husband fulfill his role as leader. You got that?
Yes.
And then a desire to honor the Lord is what that indicates.
Okay, hold up.
Yes, ma'am. There is power in having a proper attitude that will help your husband fulfill his role as leader in the home. And then a right heart attitude indicates a desire to honor the Lord. Okay? So what does God want for marriage? What do you think is God's desire in the home?
Peace.
Contentment. Harmony. Okay? God does not want there to be conflict and arguments and disagreements. How much can you accomplish with that? Not much. At least there's not going to be happiness and contentment and peace in a home that where there's constant disagreement and argument over what to do and who's going to do it and what direction you're going to take. And so God's plan provides for protection and unity in the marriage. And he desires harmony, which we can either promote or defeat. Okay, so you're going to play a big part in what kind of atmosphere there is in your home. A right heart attitude promotes harmony in the marriage and home. And D, your willingness to follow encourages your husband to lead. Now, we've already mentioned that, but if he sees that you're willing to follow him, he's a lot more likely to say, well, this is going pretty good. Maybe I should step up to the plate and fulfill my role as leader in the home. You know, do what's right. I see she's with me. I see she loves me. I see she's an encouragement to me. You have a lot of power when you do that. If you think about the other institutions that God set up besides the home, you know, the government and the church, all those, they have an order of authority, right? There's people in places of leadership and there's people under them, people that follow. And things just work better when everybody is doing their thing in the right position and doing what they're supposed to do. And so God, he doesn't do anything haphazardly. He's a God of order. And he knows better than anybody else how things should work and how things will work the best. All right, so suppose the question comes up about a lost husband. You think that takes God by surprise? No. It's going to require a lot of faith in God to work in the heart of your mate. God is not distant from you. He's not off in some far corner, unaware of what you're going through, what you're experiencing, what you're dealing with. It doesn't matter what happened to bring about that situation. You know, we were both lost when we got married, you know. And I know plenty of women who were saved, married a lost husband, vice versa. You know, those situations abound, but God is in control. Think about this. He even works in the circumstances that bring you and your husband, brought you and your husband together, or when he puts men and women together. He controls the placement of not only godly leaders and husbands, but also the placement of a lost or maybe an oppressive husband in your life. If you will read in Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 4 and verse 17, just listen to this. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. God's ways are not our ways. We've heard that several times in the last couple days. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so God makes no mistakes, but you might be put in a position where you're going to really have to amp up the faith and trust in God to do the work. Don't lose sight of this thought. God can use foolishness and sinfulness of a husband's personality to form his character in them. And not only in him, but in you and in others in your family, your children. And that will accomplish God's purposes. You might not see it for a number of years. I know my sister-in-law got saved not long after we did. But she prayed for her husband for 12 years. And now he is one of the most godly men I know. And has been a fantastic leader in his home. So God doesn't make mistakes. And God is able to work all things for good to those who love God. Okay? So, and another thing, don't forget this. You're not responsible for your spouse, for your spouse's actions. You're responsible for yours. You will answer for your response toward God and his command. Okay? I read in a book, and maybe you all have, some of you have read this book, The Ministry of Marriage by Jim Benning. That's got a lot of helpful stuff in it. But I read something that really impressed me and helped me have a proper attitude toward God's plan of submission. And it was this. Any man's sense of value is met first and foremost by his relationship with God. All right. That's his number one relationship that needs to be developed. When he experiences the fullness of God and all the blessings of his precious fellowship, he can feel great contentment. But that is God's direct ministry to him. That's how God ministers to him. But God also has an indirect ministry, and that's through the wife. So God can use you as an extension of his ministry to your husband. He works indirectly through you to him. And so as the wife submits to her husband, God uses her to underscore his value and help meet that need of approval. We all know how important it is to be approved by others. All right, your husband needs your approval. And we need his approval. But God can use us to help meet that need in him simply by submitting to the Lord's command to be a follower of your husband. Let him be the leader. Let him be the head. So what is it that will help you develop a proper attitude towards submission? It's understanding that it's not to be from a sense of man worship, being a man pleaser, just doing it to please a man, but rather that whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So, you know, this just kind of goes around and around. Everything we do is to honor God and to please him. So submission to your husband is an expression of your submission to God. And you're to do it for Christ's sake and for his glory. And this has everything to do with your H-E-A-R-T. Keeping your heart right and tender toward the Lord is the main thing. That's what's necessary. Okay, so we've gotten our assignment from God through Scripture. We've gotten our assignment, and we've looked at our attitude. But finally, what is all that supposed to culminate in? Action. Okay? So We've looked at the assignment in Scripture. We've got the right heart attitude. So I'm going to give you 10 action points that you can incorporate in your obedience to God's command. Number one, demonstrate love in your submission to your husband. Because without love, it's just an empty duty.
Did you do action up above there? If you did, I missed.
Okay, let me see. Which one is it? Oh, obedience to God's command. Mm-hmm. Heart attitude. Heart attitude should be evidenced in our actions. Okay, so number one action point. Demonstrate love in your submission to your husband. Without love, it's just an empty performance of a duty. Number two, let him know that you need him and depend on him. Because this is going to go a long way in displaying to him that you trust him and his position as leader. Need him and depend on him. Mm-hmm. How many of you know from Scripture that it's been shown that self-sufficiency destroys trust? In the Bible, when men depended on themselves and had everything they needed, they didn't rely on God. They didn't have to trust God for anything. And so let him know that you depend on him, and that, yeah, there might be most things you can handle on your own, but that's not helping him fulfill his role. Okay? Number three, look to him for your provision. Now, I'm not discounting God at all, because he is our provider. But in the realm of the home and the marriage relationship, most men are boosted by the fact that they are the provider. You know, that I'm not discounting women working. I don't misunderstand me at all on that. I know how it is. But if you can encourage him and thank him for the work he does, you know, he's likely to put out a little more effort maybe to do things, you know. Ladies, y'all know what power resides in a woman. And words mean a lot. You know, you can encourage him or you can discourage him. And so he most likely will respond positively to being the provider in the family, because that's how God made him. Okay, number four, accept his decisions in your spirit. They can usually tell if you're just saying words. Okay, let's do it that way. All right. That's what you say, and your eyes are rolling back in your head. And so not just in outward words, but inwardly in your spirit. Well, that will indicate your honor and respect of him. And I think somebody else is going to cover love and respect at some point, but, you know, to accept his decisions in your spirit is a mature thing to do, spiritually mature thing to do. It does not negate your input on decisions. I'm not saying you don't have any input. No. You work together to accomplish what needs to be done. Nor does it mean that you're to follow him into sin or direct disobedience to God. Can't do that. But there is a way to approach him if you are asked to do something that's direct disobedience to God. Number five, praise him. We all know the value of praise for a job well done. You know how important it is to kids to build up their self-esteem. It does the same for us. It does the same for husbands. You know, praise him. Find something that you can praise him about. Boy, you look great today and you smell really good. Or, you know, you did a fantastic job on redoing my flower bed or whatever it is. You know, praise him. It goes a long way in helping him. Number six, here's that word, reverence. But reverence him. Ephesians 5:33 says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself." Right? That's for the husband. "And the wife see that she reverence her husband." Okay? That's not calling him holy reverend, but it's showing that you respect his position and you understand that it's God ordained. It's a God-given position. Okay? Number seven, reassure him that you trust God to work through him and express it verbally. Okay? Let him know that you're trusting God to use him to do what's necessary for you, for your home, for your family. Let him be reassured, not only by your words, but your love for him, however you express that to him. Number eight, encourage him to hold on to his God-given goals, even when things look rough. How many of you have made plans or prayed about something and thought it was going to come to pass, and it just is delayed and delayed and delayed? You get discouraged, don't you? Yeah. Currently, well, for the last 14 months, my daughter and son-in-law and 16-year-old twin grandsons have lived with us. Due to circumstances in ministry that they were in, out of their control, but they never thought they would be with us for 14 months. And they have pursued the open doors that God has brought their way for ministry, and nothing has materialized. Needless to say, her husband has gotten discouraged. She has gotten discouraged. The boys have gotten discouraged. And it can really skew your perception of how ministry ought to be. But they still have the goal of serving God in ministry because they feel God has given them that desire and that ability, and that's where he wants them. And so they haven't given up. But my husband and I have done our best to encourage them to hold on to it. God's going to be faithful. He's going to come through in his time, in his way. And so do that for your husband. Encourage him. If he's got goals, things he's planned for, hoped for, and they haven't come to pass, pray for him and encourage him. Support him and challenge him to persevere, to trust God to bring it to pass. Okay, number nine. Seek spiritual counsel from him. Appeal to his leadership in spiritual matters and use words that encourage him in his spiritual walk. I know there's plenty of situations where the husband's maybe not as spiritual as the wife, but what you can do is encourage him in what he does do spiritually, how he does obey the Lord, what he does demonstrate in his life that shows that he trusts God. Build him up in that and ask him, what's your thoughts, hon, on what God would have us to do? You know, can we pray together? What have you gotten from the Lord? You know, you can help build him up spiritually. And a lot of that can be done by time spent in prayer for him, and then the time spent together in the Word, and, you know, just seeking the Lord together. And finally, number 10, avoid womanly manipulation, which usually brings about the opposite of the results that you seek. Okay? We all know what we can get away with. We all know what we can use to manipulate him. But it's not our right or responsibility to change him. That's God's responsibility, and he will do that. So don't use manipulation. And usually, after a while, he can tell what you're trying to do. Okay? Doing it God's way, as to the Lord, will bring God's blessings. So consider the assignment, consider the attitude that you have toward that assignment, and then act on it. And these are just 10 little suggestions. There's things you could come up with on your own. I have a closing illustration I'd like to read to you. I don't know whether you're for or against Facebook. I use it for scripture sharing and so forth. And I have friends who are missionaries and pastors' wives and so forth. I had been trying to get my thoughts together on this and just thinking. And one day I was reading on Facebook a post, and I thought, wow, she could not have said this better. I could not have said this better than what she wrote. But this is a girl named Heather. I won't give her last name, but she's the daughter-in-law of longtime missionaries in Mongolia. Okay, she's married to their oldest son. And she recently wrote this. She said, 90 months, 7.5 years of being Mr. and Mrs. One thing we're constantly learning on ever-deepening levels is that a thriving marriage takes Jesus. But boy, marriage done in his way is truly incredible. When a husband loves and serves and protects his wife out of love for Jesus, and when a wife submits to his God-given leadership out of love for Jesus, it's an amazingly beautiful thing. A man who is loving and laying down his life for those God has put in his care is being like Jesus. And she gave the reference of John 10:14-15. And a woman who joyfully comes under the leadership God has put in her life is also being like Jesus, John 5:19. It flies in the face of what the world and our own natural way of reasoning tells us is the right way to do things. But I tell you what, it doesn't have to fully make sense to our finite minds for it to work. When we take God at his word, trusting him as our all-loving, all-knowing Creator, will never, ever be disappointed. And I thought, she's only been married 7.5 years. She's learned an amazing lesson and something that will serve her throughout the rest of her marriage. And I know a lot of you are probably even better at this than me, but years of being married teaches a lot of lessons. And if you don't take advantage of those lessons, it's your loss. God wants to bless your marriage, and it's not a burden to submit to your husband. If it was something hard to do, or, you know, something that would bring pain and unhappiness, God wouldn't have set it up that way. So I hope it's been a little help to you. It helped me. Thank you, Debbie, for challenging me to do the study. So let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Lord, we have gotten so much since we arrived yesterday. Lord, you've been teaching me things that I need that will benefit me, will benefit our marriage, will benefit others that I might have the opportunity to witness to or to share with. And Lord, I know that your way is perfect. Sometimes we don't understand it. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But Lord, you have our good at heart. And you're not going to do anything to hurt us. I pray that you would strengthen our marriages. Help us to understand that submission is your plan. That we have an order of authority. And it works. Lord, I pray that your blessing would be upon every lady in this room and her marriage. And Lord, that you would give wisdom when the problems arise. And Lord, that you would get glory because we have made the choice to obey you out of love. We thank you for all you're going to do in the days ahead and in this place and as well when we go home. May we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.